Welcome to the Pastor and Intern Podcast. My name is Eric. I'm the pastor on the podcast, and I'm here with Will. Will, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Awesome. Jenna, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Okay, so Will, we're doing something a little different. We're in our summer series, we're doing something a little different than usual. Maybe it's a permanent change, maybe not. We'll see how it goes.
Who knows? Yes.
Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, so we normally do like the news and a theological conversation. At least that's what our consistent thing has been.
Yes.
Over the past couple months. And then we changed it up. It's been probably about a month now. About that giveaway, or not the giveaway, the favorite episode, our favorites. And I think we're going to keep this sort of rotation going through the summer. So we're going to start a series talking about life's toughest questions. So we're going to deal with different things here and there that deal with difficult questions in life, or just difficult questions in particular. I don't know if that has to deal with it, specifically with life. But we are going to try to make them a little bit shorter. So they're going to be around 30 minutes, if not a little bit shorter than that, to allow you to listen to them a little bit more quickly. I know the past couple have been a little bit longer, and hopefully they'll be interesting. So that's all I got. Y'all got anything to add there?
No, I'm ready to go if you're ready.
Yeah, well, just remember the giveaway as well. You can enter to win that on the Facebook and Insta on the Facebook.
I sound like you sound like an 80-year-old man.
On the Facebook.
Yeah, you can enter to win that on Facebook and Instagram as well. And yeah, our new logo is back there still. I think we're good to go. Why don't you go and get us started, Eric? What's the question we're tackling today?
Okay, so is COVID-19 the judgment of God?
We're doing a heavy hitter here.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you, if I'm leading the podcast on these subjects,
yes.
I'm going to hopefully give you three questions that I'm going to answer.
Okay.
Some are easier than others.
And we have not seen any of these questions.
You've not seen any of the questions or any of the answers.
No.
So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to end with hopefully some sort of recommendation or resource and a closing statement on the matter.
Good.
Okay? We good with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here for it. Let's do it.
So the COVID-19, is it the judgment of God? Okay. So question one, is God judging the world through the coronavirus? I think that's the big one. That's the big Bertha one. Okay. Now you're going to love my answer to this. My answer is maybe. Okay. So maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Okay. So this is what we got to think about. Okay. God is doing, as John Piper likes to say, which is ironic because I'm going to reference him later. John Piper likes to say that God is doing 10,000 things in your own life at one time, and we are only bright enough to realize up to three of those things.
Yeah, that's a good quote.
Okay, so that's pretty solid, and I agree with that, and I think most Christians would agree with that. Like, God is doing all these things in your life, and he's so big, and we're so small, so we can only see two or three of those things. Okay, now, another preface to this conversation, it is never our place to decide if God is or is not judging someone based upon their circumstances.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to
say that preface.
I'm going to say that one more time.
Yeah.
We can and should never say that God is judging someone based upon their circumstances. He could be.
Sure. Okay. There's no way for us to know.
But there's no way for us to know that. It's not as God comes down, he's like, all right, here's the list of all the people that I wanted to die from the coronavirus because of their sin and judgment. That's not what's happening.
Okay? Sure.
So that's the first question. The first answer to the first question is maybe. Number two, what does God's judgment look like? I think that's an important question.
I agree.
So there are a bajillion, as my friend over here would say, a bajillion stories we could look at.
I don't know that I've ever said
there's
the
just
word
a bunch
bajillion.
Of them. What is the word that you say?
Ginormous.
Bajillion.
Whatever. So there's a lot of them. So in number 16, okay, I just picked one out of the hat. I'm like, and I picked one out of the hat. We get this story about this guy named Korah and all his followers, okay? It's number 16 in the verses that if you're looking this up at home, 16, 28 through 35 is what I really want to focus on. This guy named Korah and all his followers rise up to try to take Moses' place. They're like, hey, man, we think you're not that great, and we're going to take your place. And God judges them for that because God instituted Moses as the leader of Israel, right? So what does God do? God says you need to stand back from these people. So all of Korah's family, his relatives, brothers, sisters, children, everybody, the ground literally opens up, they fall into the hole, and then it closes back over them. Jenna's laughing because it's kind of in our own contemporary context, it's kind of funny. But that's what God's judgment looks like, okay? Now, does it always look that way? No. But that's one example of what God's judgment looks like, at least in a biblical sense. At least in a sense when we're talking about Israel, right? Because, again, you have to look at all these things from a Christian worldview.
Yeah.
Right? We're not Jewish people, right? We're not the people of Israel. So you have to distinguish, which I can't remember if this is the talk that I'm talking about this in, but it's whatever. We have to distinguish between, okay, because you know, okay, so you know when people say, well, the reason where we can know what we should obey in the Old Testament and the New Testament is because there's a sacrificial and a moral law. You've heard that before, right? Have you heard that said by someone before? They're like, it's easy to distinguish. There's the rules set up through God's own morality, and there's rules that are, sacrificial rules. You have to have a beard, whatever, those type of things.
Yes, yeah.
And that's how they explain away all the Old Testament, okay? Which I will caution people from thinking that way, because that is as helpful as that is, it's a gross oversimplification of the Old Testament, and yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that. But we have to be careful when we're saying, okay, that's how God judges people, okay? Because that was in a different time with a different people, but it's the same God and the same morality in God, right? So, and we're going to get to this a little bit later because I'm just now thinking about which one this applies to. But we've got to think about, okay, the number one thing we should see about God through the history of Israel and now into the church is that God's moral, what he's made up of, his goodness, what makes him God, is the same.
Yes.
Okay? That's the one thing you got to hold on to. Okay.
Throughout both Testaments, right? That's what you're saying?
Yes, yes. And to now.
And to now, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Even before the Testaments, he was like that. Okay? Before the Testaments.
Before,
during the Testaments. Okay.
Okay. Testaments. Gotcha.
Okay. Third thing. Is God responsible for all tragedies?
Good question.
Okay. And you'll like this answer too. Yes and no. So, I would say no, as far as God does not move my hand to hurt someone. Okay? That is not what's happening. But it's yes, because God allows all things to happen that have happened. But would you follow with that? God has allowed all things that have happened to happen. If he did it, they wouldn't have happened. Yeah. Nothing happens, and God goes, darn.
You could say, you know, we have free will to go kill somebody if we want.
But and God knows if you will or not. Yes.
God didn't force me to do it, though.
Right.
He didn't force me to go murder somebody.
Right, but he knew that you would, and he had the power to stop you and didn't.
Yeah.
That turned really dark. Yes.
Well, but I'm just saying, you know, yes and no. So, yes, God allows all tragedies to happen that have happened. And no, he doesn't make people do these things. Okay? There's a balance. You got to have a balance here. Because people like to say, well, how, and we'll get to this because I remembered it now, how can a good God do blank?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, again, and we're going to get into this in another podcast, but we have to rethink the way that we think about the word good and think about the word evil or sin or whatever. We've got to reevaluate what those words mean, okay? We're not going to do it on this podcast.
Good.
Those are things that we got to think about.
Yes.
So, a good resource for this, question is The Coronavirus in Christ by John Piper. He wrote this during the coronavirus.
Oh, my gosh.
He literally did,
So if you were cleaning out your garage and you thought you did something, no, you didn't. You didn't write a book and get it published and sell it to a bunch of people. So I bought a lot of them, and I have one left. that's how popular this
book is.
Is
that the one you read?
Yeah, this is the one I read. Yeah. And I will give it away. So if someone
wants
it,
you did that fast.
I'll give it away, and I will buy more. I don't care. So it's a really good book.
We've all read it a couple times. I mean, it is good.
Okay, so here's my final statement, and then if you have something to say, feel free to say it.
Okay.
Okay. We are never allowed to blame God for a tragedy, but it should make us recognize how fragile the world is. Imagine how helpless we are in comparison to God himself. Okay? So when we look at tragedies, our first thought shouldn't be, well, is this God's judgment? That shouldn't be your first thought. Your first thought should be, life is actually very fragile, and any person could go at any time. And so we should be as eager as ever to share the good news of the gospel with every single person we encounter.
That's your final statement.
There we go. That's my final statement.
Okay, so is it our turn to conversate?
Yeah, if you want to say something, go ahead. I'm not saying that I will reply to your statement, but I will hear your statement.
Are you the judge over there?
I am. This topic was given to me, so therefore I am the judge.
You're the top dog
of this topic.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have a New Testament reference of God's judgment somewhere? Do you have?
No, that was my only one I picked out of the hat.
Numbers? Okay. I think you could, I mean, goodness, you probably could look.
Mainly, there's a lot.
Yeah, but you
could
see in
done
Revelation
Pharaoh.
20. Yeah.
I could have done a lot of stuff.
I do think you see it more probably in the Old Testament in those ways, right? I can't think of a time in the New Testament where there's a gaping hole and somebody falls in it.
And
or they
closes.
Swallow them up, yeah.
Yeah.
So I do think you're going to see that more in the Old Testament.
I wish God would have just left the hole.
So we could go
as
see
an eternal
it.
Reminder, like, this is what happens to people that cross me. And it's like, okay, all right.
Yeah. So I do think, I think a question you brought up, which I'm curious about, and I want to discuss, is this idea, did God cause the coronavirus? Because I've heard this four or five times, and I think the problem we run into is when we're trying to answer it, because we're trying to hold God in his sovereignty and all-knowing and all-powerful being as well. But then we're also trying to be like, well, if he's a good God, then can we really say that he's the one who caused the coronavirus?
Sure.
And so I don't know. I'm curious. What are your thoughts? What are y'all's, Jenna's, too? What are y'all's thoughts?
Well,
that.
the first thing, I don't know if this really answers anything, but the first thing that comes to my mind is just, you know, our human nature is to automatically blame somebody for everything in our lives.
Sure.
Anything that happens, you want to put the blame on somebody. So I feel like, you know, with the pandemic and things going on, you know, some people are blaming China and blaming scientists that may or may not have created it, whatever is going on, whatever the truth is.
Sure.
They're either blaming them or I feel like you turn to God and blame God.
Right.
It's, more,
justice,
it's one or the
right?
other. Yeah, you want justice.
Sure.
Right.
Even though, I mean, we... Like you said, we don't know. We're not the all being. We don't have all the smarts. We don't know the big picture here and what's going on.
Right.
So, you know, we're not judge, jury, and executioner. We're not to say if God caused it or not.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, I agree. So would you say, okay, so when we're asking the question, does God cause the coronavirus? Obviously, I think there's a problem within the question. So I think when we use that word cause, maybe we shouldn't use that word cause, because then you're which, and again, it almost struggles to answer it, because it's as if God has, like, sent the coronavirus
to
his
like
people.
He purposely tried to do it.
If somebody would say, well, the coronavirus could be a judgment for sin, then that, in a way, would be God sending the coronavirus, right? Wouldn't you say?
If you knew that.
If you knew that, yes. Of course, we don't know that, but if you did know that.
I think the actual culprit is that we decided to sin against God. And therefore, it is our fault. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, so it goes back to sin in our life. Right, so it goes back to the Genesis 3, we've fallen.
Yeah, and that's the only reason it happens.
Right, which is also going to get into another question we're going to deal with.
Exactly, that's why I don't want to get too far into
that
question.
Right,
it's almost... Because I wasn't... So when I did this one, I wasn't thinking about the one later on.
Yeah, yeah.
But when
there's
I got to the one later on,
like
I'm
that.
Like, oh, dang, this is really similar. But...
Yeah, so. They are. There's another one that's very similar like that as well.
Yes.
Okay, so what would your... Okay, so dealing with the main question, the coronavirus and the judgment of God. So you would say, or your final conclusion would be that we just don't know. We don't know if the coronavirus is a judgment from God.
Yes.
So
it could
be
or could not be. It could be for one of the people that died and not the rest.
So would you say it probably...
It could be of nobody.
Yeah.
Could you say it's probably or...
I'm not going to. No, I don't know.
Because you don't know.
I'm not
going to
make that.
Know.
Yeah, I'm not going to make that call. I don't know.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Call. I might make that. I might have that conversation like in person with someone, but not over the internet.
Not in front of a microphone.
Yeah, not in. No.
No. No, we really don't know.
Yeah, we really don't know.
And I think there's so many people who will find themselves in a deeper hole when we try to explain. And I don't know if you were talking about it. I don't know if you were just talking about it a couple minutes ago. And I think there's always going to be a problem when we're trying to explain God and his actions and ways and things that he does, because we can't completely understand, because we're not him, right?
Yeah.
If we could completely understand, and in a way we could turn out to be him, but we're not.
We
can't. And I think that's part of the problem. So what I'm curious with now, and I guess as we conclude almost this episode already, is and I don't know if you have any more questions or anything to add there, is what can people get from this? So if people are getting asked this question, is the coronavirus a judgment from God? What is some hope that they can have from this question or this subject? And goodness, even this is probably the last time we talk about the coronavirus, hopefully. So what's just some hope in general about the coronavirus that you maybe could give our listeners? And again, that goes for either Is there anything?
Well, the question is just so, it's like you said, the question is so pointed. Like, it's like you're shooting an arrow at God. Like, this is your fault, right?
Well, that's in turn why you're asking it almost.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Because if you ask that sort of question, that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I think it's I think the number one thing you take away from it is the knowing that God is in control of everything. He's not lost control, or he didn't put his finger on the button and the virus got out. Like, that's not what's happening. So I think one of the main things you can take away from it is that God is not tripped up by things like the coronavirus, or the flu, or whatever. So I think that's the number one thing people should take out of it.
Can I add something real quick?
Sure.
So when we mentioned talking about how that question is almost as if it is pointing at God and you're like shooting an arrow at him.
Yeah.
I heard once a few months ago, I don't remember who told me, but about somebody who maybe tried to give the Piper book away, or they tried to talk about it with somebody or something. And even when they brought that up, the person was really defensive and said, well, my God would never do something like that. And I would say, yeah, see, because you can hear it in his voice. I would say that what you did was you just flipped it around and took it to the complete opposite extreme, which you shouldn't do.
No.
Right? Because it's hard for us to say, well, God did this, but we never should say, well, God would never, unless it's something to deal with like sin.
Or evil.
Or evil, right. It would be hard for me to come to this topic and say, well, there's no way God did this.
But then, with that person's statement is they said, well, my God.
Right. Which you're never a fan of that anyways, right?
I hate it in that context.
Yeah.
Because you're saying that my God and Jenna's God and your God could possibly be different.
Yeah. When you put that word my in front of there.
It's like, actually, there's just one, so can we like figure out between the two of us which one's the real one?
Who is right?
Yeah. Be like, well, if your God wouldn't do that, then we're not talking about the same
I'm fine
God.
With someone saying my God, because we even see Paul taking possession.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
But when it's a defensive posture like that, it's just you're unwilling, and this is just a rabbit hole. I had that same conversation years ago with someone in particular, and we were in a bus together, so he couldn't get away from the conversation.
Oh,
and I was like 21 at the time, so
fun.
I was way more raw then than I am now. Yeah. So, but that type of thing is you running away from answers that you don't want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know the truth. People aren't stupid.
Yeah.
They know the truth. They're just running from it.
It reminds me a lot, and I don't mean to go. It reminds me of, I think we actually talked about it. If you're a long-term listener, I think we talked about it when we did one episode on church history. It reminds me of Marcion when he tries to separate the OT and the NT.
Yeah.
And then basically creates his own NT, and it just doesn't turn out good for him.
No.
But he does it for that reason. And that's ultimately where you're going to have to get to. If you say something like that, then okay, well, then we need to address whether or not you would affirm that the God in the OT is the same God that is in the NT. Because to be honest with you, there's a lot of things that happen in the OT that are probably worse than what's happening right now with the coronavirus.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And so if you're going to say, well, God would have never, or there's no way this would have happened, okay, well, then we need to go back and look at the Old Testament.
God's killed a lot of people.
Yeah, right. I mean, and that's something you have to justify, is that the same God in the Old Testament is the same one that's in the New Testament, right?
Yep.
And we can do a whole other podcast on that at some other time. But I just thought, when you were talking about that, I just thought that was interesting, because that came to mind. So, Jenna, do you have any sort of hope through the coronavirus as it's really starting to wrap up and end, and, I mean, things are starting to reopen? I shouldn't say end. I guess it's never going to completely go away, but you have anything that's brought you hope during this time, I guess, or anything you want?
I feel like for me, the thing to think about is, like I kind of already said, you know, we don't know the big picture. You know, of course, there's been a lot of death and a lot of sickness and a lot of just bad things going on. But ultimately, you know, God uses difficult situations for good sometimes. So, you know, we may seem like we're in a really dark world right now, maybe still stuck in our homes, but, you know, eventually things are going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's just one thing everybody needs to think about, that we don't see the big picture. We don't know what God's actually doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I agree. I agree with both. I think, Eric, you said it well. God knows all things, right? He's all powerful. And so find hope in that, trust in that as well. I do also want to mention that it's not, I know we've kind of talked about it over many, many months now, or weeks, I should say. But we do acknowledge that there have been many people who have lost their lives, families that have been destroyed, not just by death, but also financial loss, things of that nature. And we are sorry to hear about that. We're sorry to see you experience that. And so we are here with you in that way. We can't obviously experience that in the same way you are, but we are here with you with that. And I would echo the same thing. I mean, God hasn't just left us and disappeared.
Right.
He's still here, and we'll make it through it. We'll figure it out, and we'll get there. But that's all I got. Eric, do you have anything else to add there?
No, that's it. I'm done.
All right, Jenny, you have anything else to add for the Coronavirus and Christ? Well, that is a good book, by the way. Coronavirus and Christ by John Piper. Eric's holding it up. Yeah. Now, that red book, small book. I mean, goodness, how long did it take you to read it? Like an hour?
Yeah, it took me about an hour and a half to read the 99 pages.
Yeah, it doesn't take
that
long.
Oh, that would
at
take
all.
Me so long.
No, it wouldn't, Jenna.
I mean, they're super small.
Look at this.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
No, that would take me long.
And he does really good at the end of the book to say, well, what's some possible reasons God could be doing this? But he acknowledges the same thing. We never could know. So if you will, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Again, we do have the giveaway going on right now. You can enter that by sharing the Facebook post on the Pastor and Intern page or the First Baptist Church of Blackshear page, as well as on Instagram. You can watch the podcast video on Facebook as well. It should be up there by now. Please leave us a rating and review on your podcast listening app of choice. This helps us get out to more people. Also, we really like feedback. We never can try to improve or get better if we don't know what you want.
Yes.
So we do like that as well. We are for the Word, for the truth, and for the church. Again, thanks for listening to the Pastor and Intern podcast.